The following is an at-will presentation.
What just happened? What just happened? What just happened? No, seriously, what just happened? Is it still happening? 1 week, it's only been 1 week. It's already been 1 week. Yes, it's still happening. Yes, people are sad. Yes, people are mad. Yes, people are glad. What just happened? No, seriously, what the fuck just happened? Why haven't I stopped weeping? What's the next step for this giant ball floating through space, world, my world, and your world, and his world, and her world, and white world, and colored world, and religious world, and malicious world, and salacious world, and queer world, and fear world, and first class world, and working class world, and no class world. Every country in the world's world, this is America's world, the United States of America's world, the fucking divided states of America's world, a world for people that are trying, and a world for people that don't know how, don't know better world. It's the way we were raised world, the way they played world. Love is instinctual. Hate is taught. That's not a thought, that's a fact. Love is instinctual. Hate is taught. Whatever any of it is, this is love's world. Love for the light world, and love for the dark world. Love for the fights world, and love for the champions world. I will always have more love for the underdogs world. But today we must unite world, the United States of America world unity. United States, her plea, please. Dear America, please. Red, white, and blue have proven to do and be and breathe and fall and fail and succeed. But just like me, these colors sometimes run and bleed, and stars once tall, they cheat. We have to remember we're all in this shit together. Birds of a feather, underdogs unite and never forget. Laughs are loudest in masses. Nico, 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 a work in progress, this country. A work in progress, let it be said that I love my country and I will continue to. But just like me, sometimes the flag falls apart, frayed lines and burnt cloth, and we must, my God, we must put the pieces back together. I have undeniable faith in the good of people. The indigo spirit, come to the rescue and reach and reach and preach and catch and dive and survive and pollinate and teach these stars and stripes to fight, to fly, to breach. One day we will break the fucking glass. United States, her plea, please, dear America, please, above all I ask, be kind to one another, compassionate, empathetic. No matter what side you are on, I encourage you to find humility in your heart. I beg of you, we need it more than ever. And to the rest of the world, light a fucking candle for us or something. We gonna need it. At the end of the day, our hearts all beat the same. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. Now go tell someone you love them. This is the Love Bomb.
My name is Nico Tortorella.
Welcome to the Love Bomb. This is a conversation with a boy I love named Harvey.
What's your name again?
Harvey. Harvey. Nice to meet you.
Harvey.
Guillen.
Harvey Guillen.
Yeah. The G, because with the G goes good. Not
it's G-U-I-L-L-E-N.
Yep.
Guillen.
Guillen, like guillotine.
Like guillotine. Mm-hmm. This is a very French last name.
It's French and Spaniard.
And
Spanish.
And Spanish.
Yeah.
And you are from?
L.A.
You're from Los Angeles.
Yeah, my parents are Mexican. But I just found out...
I didn't ask you where your parents were from.
I want to go into that. It's a really funny story, actually. Have you seen those DNA things where you spit into a tube?
Yeah, DNA. Ancestry DNA.
I did that.
Have you done it?
Yeah, I did it.
I just sent it in. I haven't gotten my results back yet.
I did it, like, last year. And I was like, oh, it's going to come back like Spaniard French, and it's going to be Mexican, blah, blah. I'm 56% Irish.
Wow.
And I was like...
What the fuck?
I know. I was like,
where did that come from?
It was apparently, like, the Moors and, like, blah, 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 Ireland and, like, coming down to Portugal. And, like, it was just, like...
Grandma. She was looking for that money.
She was looking for that money.
She was looking for that blame. Alcohol. That Irish
that
boozy Tuesday. And she just went in.
I like Ireland. I've been to Ireland. So then it made me feel good that I was like, well, I kind of feel weird because I was such an advocate, and I am still, for like more Latinos on television.
Yeah.
More, and then now you're like, you're not even.
Okay. So what was the other 44%?
The other it was like a mix of like Spanish, French, and I think it was like even like 2% Asian.
Okay, and what do you do? You are a thespian of sorts.
I'm a thespian. I'm an actor and a writer and a lover and a producer. Oh. I like to do a little bit of everything, but my main thing is comedy. I love to make people laugh.
You are one of the funniest people I know.
Well, that's because I paid you right before this podcast.
Could you imagine?
Go see I'm the funniest person. I like hearing that because it makes me, not like, you know, to stroke my ego or anything, but it makes me feel like, oh, cool, because it's hard to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And if you can make someone laugh, it's such a gift.
And I think that's something that's different about the way that you approach comedy than other people. I think yours is like really positive, like pro-life comedy. You don't like go for like
the downer or like the cheap laugh. You
right.
know? I don't like doing that. I like
Maybe sometimes you go for the cheap laugh, but it's like positive.
But it's positive, and it has. And the thing is, when I make a joke, even if I offend you, you'll never hate me for saying the joke. You know what I mean? I don't want to make you like, that was racist, or that was, and it's like, that's not my, like, my goal is not to like push buttons. It's to like make fun of, this is life. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we make fun of life itself. And so bringing humor into like everyday scenarios, I'll make fun of anything, you know, because there's humor in everything. Like I was at a fashion show today and there was like the host and stuff. It was like a spiel. And I was just like, what's happening? Like it was just it was like get it together. Like it was just like one of those moments. Make fun of anything, anything and everything.
Well, fashion shows are the most ridiculous, funniest things that you
to
can
watch. Yes,
there's so much time and energy and so much like pressure put onto
people
literally
walking
like,
with clothes
for 3 minutes.
For 3 minutes
with one song.
One song.
And it's like
months and months of preparation.
Yeah, and then when it's over. They got to start the next collection immediately
and hurry up.
It doesn't matter how long that we haven't talked, the second like I hear a glimpse of your voice, whether it be via text or social media, like it's just immediately joy that I get.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like I literally, you guys don't know that I just saw him for the first time like in 2 years, 20 seconds before we started this.
All right, let's switch gears for a second here.
Mm-hmm.
The question that is, how do you identify sexually, romantically, gender-wise, all the fun stuff?
So funny you want to talk about that because I feel like I was just talking about this with someone like 2 days ago. They were asking your first sexual experience and all that. Who did you love? And for me, it's like I get – when I fall for someone, I feel like I fall infatuated with them. Like
right.
I feel like I need to like give it my all. Well, I'm a Taurus. And
I was just going to say, when's your birthday?
Yeah, May 3rd.
Okay.
So Tauruses. And Tauruses.
Rawr.
Rawr. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We are your best friend or your worst enemy, you know? And it's because we don't do half-ass.
Right.
Like, if I love, I full-on love. If I hate, it's no. There's no gray area, you know? And people are like, well, shouldn't you have like a middle? And I don't think, for me anyways, I don't think, because if I want to love, I want to fucking love, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want to like completely like engulf in it. You know, like, it's just like...
Well, you're, like, super romantic, too, I feel like.
Right? I am romantic, and people don't... You know that about me,
yeah.
But most people don't know that about me because they feel like, oh, the funny guy, he's probably just always making jokes and always, you know.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, yeah, like, love, like, being romantic, like, I think it's necessary. I think showing someone, it's like, you know, thinking of, I need to know that we are in this. I need to know that... You love me. I need to know. And then you start thinking, I sounds so selfish.
Right.
But in the meantime, you're like, but I give and I give, give.
Mm-hmm.
I give, give, give. I give.
Right.
I keep on giving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not selfish to say, I want.
Right.
I need.
Yeah. Well, no, 100%.
You know?
I mean, the ultimate goal is to say, we want, we need.
Exactly. But until you're on the same page.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's not even the ultimate goal. I don't even know why the fuck. It doesn't even make any sense.
No, it does make sense.
My favorite thing about that whole thing that you just said, though, is I asked you a question and you answered it in a way that completely did not answer the question.
Sorry.
No, it was genius. It was genius. That was like a great PR move. Like, I know it well.
You know the PR move.
I do.
It's automatic.
Yeah.
No, I have no qualms with, like, people who know me, like, know, obviously, that I'm gay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've actually ever publicly...
Oh, if you don't want to at all, this does not have to be the place to do it.
I feel like if I would say it to anyone, I would say it to you.
Okay.
So.
Aw, babe. I'm going to hold your hand for a second.
I think people who know me know, you know, at the end of the day, I am who I am, and it doesn't interfere with my work, and it shouldn't make you judge me based on my sexuality.
Right.
And that was my biggest thing with Hollywood, is that sometimes you're like, well, I don't know. You know, for me, because I'm the comical guy and I'm funny, it's a little easier to get away with. Someone like you, who's a leading man, who's, you know, handsome, it is hard. Because if a 12-year-old girl can't put her poster up and, you know,
imagine
her wedding day with you, then you don't sell that poster. And if you don't sell that poster, another girl doesn't buy your poster. And if you don't sell that, you don't sell the fucking show you're selling. You don't sell the movie. And, you know, like, just thinking about, like, Colton Haynes who just came out, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone knew, you know?
Everyone internally. Internally. We all knew. I mean...
In the business, but
yeah.
But it was his decision to come out and to be, you know what I mean?
It was his decision to write that essay for the magazine.
Right.
which props
things
to...
Are a little shady. No,
I didn't mean that to sound shady at all. No, I love Colton. I've known him for a really, really long time. And I think all of us have to do it in our own way. And I don't think there is a right answer or a right way to do it. And, like, you know, I think when Colton did write that essay and it came out, he got some slack from, like, some other actors, right? There was that one mm-hmm. dude that called him, like, a little pussy bitch or something.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of, like, inherent phobia that happens within our own community, really. Like, and, like, who the fuck can say what the right way to come out is? Like,
there isn't. And that's the thing where, you know... Like, I've never officially, and I think I've had the opportunity, like, people have said, do you want to make an article? Like, and it's like, no, I don't think I need to, you know?
Right.
And it's like, well, don't you want everyone to? And it's like, if you're, those who matter won't care.
Totally.
And those who care don't matter.
Aw.
For me specifically, I feel like I haven't had to say anything because it's obvious. You know, that's what it's like a Spanish old saying. It's like, lo que se mira no se pregunta. Which is like, if you can see it, why is there a need to ask?
Yeah.
Which is great. I think it translates, like, it's just like, you, if you're my friend, you know. If you're my acquaintance, if you're in my team, yeah, you know. If you don't know me, then you don't know me, and you don't need to know anything about me.
Totally.
Because you don't know me.
Yeah.
You know, but if I get to know you, then that's when I feel like...
Well, okay, well, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Have you been cautious with your personal life? Because I think that you're very... present person on social media, right?
Mm-hmm. Like I haven't. The person that I'm dating is all over my social media.
Yeah.
It's prominent. In fact, we were just talking about this the other day because he himself has a demographic. He's a leading guy, you know?
Yeah.
And
I didn't realize he was an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he is.
Yeah. And he himself is, you know, that's his life, you know?
Yeah.
And he in his persona and his like world. But I made it clear and I said, I'm not gonna hide.
Yeah.
I'm not hiding anything. If I love somebody, I'm going to post about it. You know
right.
what I mean? I don't want to... there's something you said about, like, well, why do we have to, like, put this up? And it's like, well, because otherwise it becomes, what, are you just going back in the closet again? You know, like a secret life and a secret... Why is it a shameful thing? Why is it shameful?
Are you asking your straight friends why they're showing their girlfriend on
exactly,
their Instagram?
Exactly. It was like, well, why do people... It's like, did you ask your straight friend about why their girlfriend's on every picture or that girl, why her boyfriend is on every picture? No, no one asked that question.
No.
But all of a sudden...
It makes you uncomfortable, so you got to open your fucking mouth.
Yeah. It's like, it blows my mind and it really upsets me about it because I made a choice a long time ago. It's like, I'm not, like, hiding who I am, and you can put the pieces together. I don't need to write a letter to each person and hand it, you know, and be like, here you go. It's like my world, my life.
Yeah.
And you can peek into it, and you can
totally.
Take whatever you want from it. But at the end of the day, it's my life.
Yeah. Perfect segue here, your life.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that you love yourself?
I think I love myself. I think I would love myself more if I was more intuitive about love in general. I feel like I've been taught what love is. I had to love myself growing up because, you know, it was tough. My parents didn't support the idea of acting. So I was like, I feel like that's not love, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like your parents should support
you.
Well,
what were you taught what love was?
Love was showing up, being present, and showing that you cared by some kind of way or another. Which wasn't great because the tools weren't like, it wasn't like affectionate. It wasn't like
right.
hugs and it wasn't like, you know what I mean? And growing up, it's so weird because I look back and now as I'm older, I hug my siblings, I hug them. And it's so weird because when we were growing up, we we weren't really taught to, like, you know what I mean? It was, like, not show that much, like, affection. It's inappropriate to show that much affection.
Really?
Yeah, we're taught that. We're Catholic, like, brought up, like, it's, like, public display of affection. No way. Not even, like, mom and dad. Like, it was just, like, no.
Wow. I didn't realize that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, like, the norm for Spanish families, I would say.
No.
Right?
I don't know. It's not. The thing is, we're very passionate people. I'm a very passionate person.
Yeah, well, duh.
I'm a very, very passionate person. And that was hard growing up because I was so passionate about things that it was really just brushed off as like, oh, you're overdramatic.
What did your parents do?
My dad had a construction company and my mom was a homemaker. Okay. But they were Catholic, like every Sunday. And like
devout Catholic.
Devout Catholic.
Okay. Well, and that's what it is.
That's what it, I mean, it comes down to. And I feel like the church had also, I'm the only one in my family who's not done their first communion as a Catholic person.
Oh, wow.
And
how did you get away with that?
That was around the time, here's segue to like what you just said, when I realized I love myself.
Yeah.
It was around when I was like 11 or 12 because I remember up till then I just felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like I was too fat. I was too like short. I wasn't like I felt these things because they were imposed upon me by my peers or by my like even family. Like it was an acute way of saying like Spanish like oh gordito, you know what I mean? Like which is like oh hey fat, you know like it was a cute way, and I'm doing like quotes right now, but like it's not cute, you know what I mean? And it does something to you because you're like, that fucks up your psyche, you know?
100%.
And then you grow up and you're like, I am that. And then I was around 11 when I was like, I'm not that. I'm not, I may be big, but I'm not just that. I am fucking talented. I am funny. Like I started to love myself. And that's when I started realizing I don't need anyone else to love me right now. I just have to love myself. And this confidence came out of nowhere around that age where I just so... Because also the thing I realized was I came from nothing. I have nothing. So I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I literally realized that around that age.
Around really 11.
Around 11.
Jesus.
And also,
mind
you, like before that, it was tough. Like I remember like being 6 and asking my parents for my first acting class. They're doing an acting class.
At 6 years old?
6 years old. Because I saw Annie. And I was like, I want to do that.
I want to be Annie.
I want to be Annie. And they were like, no, we're Catholic. And no, you're not going to be gay. And no. And then so I remember just thinking, this sucks. And I remember thinking, why not? And my parents were like, well, because there's no money. No, I'm not the netto. There's no money for that. And then I thought, yeah, there is, because you're buying my brothers, you know, like baseball gloves and baseball bats and all football and all that. Sports was big in our house. Like everyone did baseball. Everyone except me. So I was
ready. And your sisters too?
And my sister.
Well,
yeah. Everyone did sports. Everyone did sports. And I was like, oh, I'm reading the Tennessee Williams play under the book. You know, like, it's just, it blew my mind. So at 6, I remember asking my mom, and she said no. And I said, there was this fire that was happening at that, like, young age. And I feel like being 6, for me, is such a crucial moment. Like, I love the memory of me asking my mom, like, for that money. And she said no, because I had 2 choices, I remember, that age. And you're a kid, and you shouldn't be thinking these things or this way. But I thought to myself, at 6, I was like, well, what if I make my own money? And she was like, okay. Si tu agarras el dinero, like, if you get the money, you can go pay for it. And I was like, if I get the money, for it. And I just remember being 6 and I was like, how do I, without like, stealing, without like, how do I make money? Like, I was like, I don't, and I started looking around and I saw this guy collecting cans out of the trash can.
Shut up.
And so I was like, he sells cans and gets money. I can sell cans. There's no age limit for people who can sell cans. I can go sell. I got a wire coat hanger, went through a trash can in the park. It took me 3 weeks, collected cans, went to the Albertsons, like down the street, to the recycling center, got a little voucher, and for those 3 weeks, like, went and collected money, until I finally got, like, the $12 to take the first class.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That's 6.
That's incredible.
But I knew at that age already, I was just like, I know what I want. And also, in a way, I thank my parents, because denying me stuff like that and coming from, you know, humble beginnings, like, I knew I had nothing. I knew I had nothing to my name. I already had the odds against me. Like, statistically, I should be working as a Walmart greeter. You know what I mean? Like, nothing to be said about Walmart, you know what I mean? But it's just like...
Well, it depends on where you are.
Like, it's just nothing to be said, you know, but, like, I feel like statistically I should not be in the position
that
I am.
Well, congratulations, dude. Seriously, like...
Yeah.
Like, look at where you are right now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You literally were in New York City. You just left a fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, looking fantastic. Oh,
thank you.
To come meet me, to come talk on a microphone, mm-hmm. on some podcast, who knows where it winds up. Where does this all go? But, like, you're working, you're in love.
Mm-hmm. I should statistically shouldn't be there, but I am. And I made the choice to be here.
Yeah.
And when people are like, oh, you're so lucky, I was like, no, it's not luck. Not complete luck, you know? Yeah. It's like you really don't see what goes behind the scenes.
I mean, I think the luck itself, because I say, like, all the time, I'm so lucky to be here. I'm so mm-hmm. lucky to be here. But I think the luck itself is being the type of human being that is able to make that choice and live for themselves. Like, that's the luck, to be able to switch it and actually turn it into a plan of action.
Because
mm-hmm. not everybody does it. I mean, I think people think about having our lives all the time. But, like, it's being like, oh, no, that's the only option I have.
Right.
This is what I'm going to do it.
Success is my only option. Failure is not.
Right.
That's always, you know, something I've looked at. And I was like, because... It really did. Like, and I thank my parents even to this day, because they said, because they, now they're like, you know, oh, that's my son, and like promote and whatnot. And it's like, that's so funny, because you didn't support me when I was like, and now they have my mom has no recollection of it. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't know, no me acuerdo, though. Like, I don't remember that. And it's like, no, I do. And it's like, I kept a journal.
Yeah.
It's like memoirs.
And your little sister is a writer now too, right?
Yeah, Amada is an amazing writer. She wrote her first short at the age of 15.
Wow.
And then it went to the International Children's Film Festival, and it won first place.
It won.
It was made into a movie. It played at the International, which is the only Children's Film Festival in the world that qualifies you for an Academy Award nomination.
Oh, wow.
So if you win that, you, like, run in a public theater for more than, like, 3 weeks. You run in public television. Like, it's, like, these, like, you know, protocol, like, whatever. But one of the steps is must
win that festival.
Yeah, must win festival.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And there's no way she would have done that. I mean, of course, there is a way. But, like, you paved the road for that.
Yeah, because I remember her wanting to do that, and the old mannerisms of my mom's upbringing, you know, she's a product of her time. I love my mom, but, like, she is, you know, like, it's hard, you know, because, like, she's like, no, you know, trying to encourage her, no, maybe, like, try to be a lawyer or go into law and be a doctor, whatever, you know. But my sister was starting to feel like that, you know, was coming down on her. Like, she was like, I guess I should. And I was like, no. What do you want to do? You know? And she was like, well, I want to write. And it's like, then write. And it's like, but mom has lived her life. You're young. You need to live your life.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, but I don't want to. It's like, no, you will never get anywhere if you're always trying to please people.
Right.
If you don't please yourself, you know? And it's like, so she took action, wrote a script, and got this accolade. You know, like, it's kind of great, you know? Yeah. Like, she's so young, and she's such a great writer, and she is a great writer. I remember she brought the script to me, and she was like, I want to show you if you think it's good. You don't have to do it if you don't want. I was like, are you kidding me? And I read it. It was great. I even worked on it with her. Like, I was like, oh, my God, wouldn't it be great if, like, this? And it was like, that's right. And, like, so we kind of collaborated, and then we made it into a short, and then it went to the film festival. It's like... It's kind of cool because at the young age, I wish I would have seen my creation come to life as that, you know, totally. Flourishing, which I kind of did on stage. I did a lot of theater.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I need to tell you something. I absolutely love to cook. It is straight up therapy for me. Get home after a busy day running around the city. It's nice to sit down, relax, make your own food, right? But sometimes you just don't have time to go to the grocery store, so... We have partnered up with this company, HelloFresh. It's this delivery service where they send you portioned out food and all of these recipes to make these delicious concoctions super easy, super fast, and super great. I mean, the other night I had this, like, steak and Brussels sprout stir fry thing, and it was gluten-free, nut-free, and it's all super fresh, natural ingredients, and quite delectable, if I must say so myself. So you guys need to get on this shit. Go to HelloFresh.com, enter the promo code, you guys knew that was coming, LoveBomb, and get $35 off your first week of deliveries. That's HelloFresh.com, promo code LoveBomb, and start treating yourself right, you know? Love comes from the inside first. You are what you eat. Might as well make it some love.
Your first job was...
Oh, I had so many jobs. After that whole collecting cans thing...
No. Your first, like pro acting job.
Pro acting job. I think it was an H... It was an H... No, it was an Ashton Kutcher show called Misguided. And then after that, I got an HBO film. And then after that, I did, like, miscellaneous things, like co-stars, guest stars.
So you, like, went through the system. You went through the classes. You, like, got an agent fast and just started working?
I remember getting an agent after high school because they came to see this theater showcase we did.
Okay,
because
you were doing theater.
I was doing theater. And I wanted to continue to do theater. I didn't want to be cliche. I was living in L.A. and I didn't want to be an actor who was a cliche and did TV and film. The fact that I'm doing TV and film is kind of laughable now because I fought it for so long.
Right.
Because I was like, no, that's not a real thespian. No, I'm an actor. And I just remember my agent was like, well, what are you doing? Because if you don't live in New York, there's no theater in L.A. And you're so young. The roles are limited in theater as it is. So why aren't you doing it? And I was like, oh, I hate it, but you're kind of right. So then I just finished a contract doing theater in Japan for 13 months.
Oh, sick.
So I lived there for 13 months, and then I got back.
Wait, when you were how old?
This was, like, straight out of school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I did it, which is kind of cool. I was coming out of a
breakup. Wait, were you doing kabuki?
No, I wish. I wish I was doing kabuki. It was kimono. No, I was doing – I was under Universal, and they were doing Blues Brothers, Sesame Street, and Wicked.
Okay.
So I get there, and they're like, here's your script. And I was like, cool. Oh, wait. This is all in Japanese. And they're like, hi, Dozo. I was like, no. I got the Japanese. I need the English script for this, for my lines. I don't know how to. And they're like, we open in 2 weeks. What? Hi.
You had to do it in Japanese?
I had to do it in Japanese. I still know Sentimental Man from Wicked in full Japanese.
Bitch, give me a, like, verse.
Okay, give me a B flat.
Wait, hold on. I have a C. This is a love tutor.
Okay. I am a sentimental man, kokoro yasashi otoko sa, dakara itsumo jibun no besto tsukushitai to omou, so alfaba omae no chikara do, sodatete takaku tobitatasetai, mina ni tobu chansu.
Yes! Holy 2 weeks, you learned all three of those shows?
Yeah.
How?
A lot of stress. And a lot of coffee.
Jesus.
Yeah. I think it was good for me, though, because it pushed me to do something that I was uncomfortable. I was always comfortable with theater, and this is the first time, because, you know, I do theater, you know, shows in school and stuff, and I was like, got it. Like, I'd be memorized on the first day and be like, oh, I'm a pro.
Yeah, totally.
And then you get somewhere, and you're like, here you go. And you're like, I'm a pro. Yeah. You know, and you really are challenged to, like, this is what pros do, you know? And you were like, this is what pros fucking totally. Do.
I was in a show for 3 years growing up from the time, like, of, like, 13 to 16, I want to say, in downtown Chicago. And it was this. It was the same show for 3 years, 8 shows a week.
What show was it?
It was called Over the Tavern.
Okay.
I played all three brothers in the show. Whatever. I thought I knew everything about acting that I could have known. So when I, like, went to my high school audition, we were taught not to memorize audition material in different acting studios in Chicago growing up. And I feel like that's, like, a normal thing that acting coaches teach. Like, you don't need to memorize your shit. But in high school, it was like, if you don't come in, I went to a very...
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I went to a, like, it was, like, the number one performing arts public school in the world or something.
It was a little, like, hoity-toity.
Yeah, it's like, yes. Yeah. All John Hughes movies are based off my high school. Seriously, I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow.
They were, like, shot at my high school, too.
Wow.
So I, like, went in to my first, like, high school audition with the materials in my hand, and it was like I was the fucking devil. And I was ostracized for, like, for working in theater growing up.
So doing what you're training to do, but doing it already while you're training.
Yeah, and getting paid for it,
too.
Getting
paid for it.
Yeah.
Wow. I could see that because there's something you said when, like, you go back to, like, you know, school and, like, it must be hard. Like, imagine those child actors who, like, go through, like, you know, elementary school performing and they go to high school and they're like, oh, it's that kid from...
Well, in L.A., it's not easy at all.
You
are comfortable in your own skin.
I am. Yeah. And I feel like...
Have you always been?
I feel there was always a time when I was younger when I was told by others I shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I was told by others that you should be ashamed.
Right.
You should be ashamed. And these are all layers. Like, they're like, you should be ashamed. I mean, like, you're big, you're short, you're Latino. You're gay, you know?
Yeah.
There's all these elements to, like, you should just go in the corner and don't make a fuss. Just be quiet, okay? Like, that was the feeling I had, that people expected that from me. And the sooner I got out of that, the it was the most, like, freeing experience for me, just because it was just like, I don't have to do shit for you.
Right.
I don't have to do shit for anyone. I'm doing this for me.
Yeah.
And no one else. And the sooner people, and this, I do believe, if anyone who's listening to this who's, you know, debating, like, oh, I don't know if I want to answer, well, people don't think I'm going to, it's like, fuck other people, because at the end of the day, you'll have no one to answer to but yourself.
Right.
So answer to yourself, and if you answer to yourself, will you be happy with, you know, what you see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very sweet. You just recently lost, like, 100 pounds, right? I mean, it's a great segue right there, right?
What a fucking horrible segue. Wow, that's sweet. That's very beautiful. You recently, I had a really bad scare like over a year ago. It was like right before my birthday, and I just didn't feel good. And I went to the doctor, and I just feel like lethargic, and I didn't feel healthy.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor, and they're like, you're borderline diabetic. And I was like, what? Because you think, I'm young. Because I've always been big. But I've always been healthy. Like, I go to the doctor, and they're like, you're in really good health for someone who's big.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, always. Always. Nothing had. And then I think it was, you know, I ate what I wanted. I ate what I want, whatever. And it, you can't do that. Because, I mean, when you're young, you're active, blah, blah, blah. And even when you're, you know, we're still young, but I'm not really like a sports plane. You know what I mean? So then I continue to, you know, at that time, eat what I want and stuff. And, yeah, you're gaining weight, you know. And it got scary. Like, they're like, you're borderline diabetic. And I was like, oh, my God. So what do I do? And they're like, well, we got to get, you know, cut this and sugars and whatever. So I made the choice to start. And it's so funny to see people, like, see it.
I mean, you look like a different person.
Oh, well. I mean, I hope I'm still the same person, but...
No, you are.
Right. But
you just look so much happier.
Oh, really?
I feel like, yeah.
I feel like I've always been happy.
Yeah.
Yeah?
You've always been happy, mm-hmm. but I think that, like, there is a level of health in your face when you're taking care of yourself in a way that, like, looks happier than if you're not. Does that make sense?
Yes, I get what you're saying, yeah.
Okay.
I do see that because I feel, like, healthier. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, totally.
And I, you know, more to smile about. But I remember...
I mean, 100 pounds is a lot of weight.
Yeah, well, it's been a process because it was a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I did it was really drastic because of the circumstances. It was like, it's now. Like, it's happening now. To. Because once you cross over,
right.
You have it. You know, right. It's like, it sounds terrible. It's almost like talking about, like... HIV or something, you know what I mean? Like,
no, once
you
have it, you have it.
But I didn't want to cross that threshold. Yeah. I was like, I do not want to cross it. And so I started making changes. And then closer to the end of the year, because I changed my diet that way, mm-hmm. I started getting like these horrible like stomach pains and stuff. And then it turned out that I had diverticulitis.
Wow.
Which you know what that is.
No.
Where the lining in your stomach... it's like putting this light through, uh-huh. and you could see light through it.
Oh, wow.
That means that anything that's going through it can actually, like, open you up. But that's all toxic. So you die instantly.
Oh, my God.
So I had to take care of that.
Did you have surgery?
I did because the doctor said – I was having, like, horrible, like, stomach pains, and they were like – you know, you're probably like backed up or whatever, prune juice or something.
Right.
I kept going to the doctor, and they were like, yeah, you're backed up. I went to the urgent care one day. I couldn't stand this pain. What was happening was like the tearing was happening.
Yeah.
Like literally. So they had to go in and like patch up and do this. But that also was a strict like liquid diet for a while. Right. You know what I mean? So it was like hard. So it was one thing that led to another. But actually, I'm glad it all happened at the same time because A, I would be dead one way or another. Like either, you know, by diabetes later on in life or by my intestines just bursting.
Jesus.
So it was a lot back to back. And this was like around, I want to say like last year, December, when mm-hmm. that, like it was like, we need to go to surgery now. You know what I mean? And it had been already like 6 months of me trying to be healthy, which was kind of like a downer for me because like I tried so hard to get healthy.
And then this happens.
And then this happens. And then, but then the doctor was like, actually it's a good thing because, you know, then you're healing and your body's healing altogether, and now you change your diet. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't. Because apparently, the reason diverticulitis happens, and this hasn't been proven, but skeptical that it's because of seeds. Like, when you eat, like.
Oh, and you love seeds.
I love seeds, yeah. I love seeds. I love seed. but.
Breeding and seeding.
And it was just. So he was like, well, this is good because now, you know, these are life changing, you know, that you have to do. Like, these are things you need to do.
And you did it.
And I did it. And I fucking did it. And I'm proud of myself. And not just recently, I've gone back to like eating like turkey meat and like a little bit of like organic. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's all in moderation. Right. And I can eat whatever I want.
So you were on a liquid diet for a while?
Basically. Oh, yeah. Wow. Like, not at first, because I was just trying to get out of the diabetes zone.
Right.
But then afterwards, that happened, and you're like, you
can't. But, like,
how
long?
Like, 6 weeks.
Jesus.
That's where most of it came from.
Yeah.
All you were doing is, like,
you're
liquid
just,
diet.
Yeah.
Liquid diet. And, like.
What were your poops like?
Poops? What are those?
Oh, really? You were just peeping.
Pretty much. Liquid was all I was drinking. I was just drinking liquid and protein. And that was it. Like, it was just trying to heal.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you could eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Like one dish, or is it like a plate?
Okay, wait, hold on.
Okay.
Let me make this better.
Okay.
Your like dream day. You have a day. Your dream day. Mm-hmm. This is your last day. You can eat whatever you want. How much you want, whatever the fuck you want. What
am
are you
I
doing?
Dying or like?
I guess. It's just your last day.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm in prison and I'm going to be executed.
Yes, sure. Whatever story you want to tell yourself.
Whatever you have to tell yourself, sleep at night.
If it's prettier for you in prison.
Oh, man. You know what? I have to say, I love my mom's enchiladas. Mm. And I would probably ask for those
for breakfast.
I've had them for breakfast.
Yeah.
Because for breakfast, you can kind of make them like chilaquiles.
We used to eat like spaghetti and meatballs for breakfast all the time.
I love it.
That's how we grew up.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Oh, spaghetti.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't eaten spaghetti in like 5 years.
Do you want to get spaghetti after this? Should we get spaghetti after this? I kind of want to go to like some kind of touristy trash.
There's a gluten-free pasta place over here.
Is there?
Yeah.
We're going.
All right, cool.
I say my mom enchiladas. I've always loved like, and it's a horrible word, but like I love fatty food, you know, like I don't care, you know, I just
like burgers and fries and,
like fried chicken.
Yeah.
I love, the best chicken I've had was probably at Paula Deen's.
Paula Deen's?
Paula Deen's in Savannah, Georgia.
Legend.
Although a close one to that was, this hole in the wall, in New Orleans, which was an Italian restaurant. But they serve chicken, and only the locals know about how good the fried chicken is. Because I asked the lady at the hotel, I was like, where do you go to get, like, fried chicken?
Right.
She goes, well, nobody knows this, but blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, there was no tourists there. It was a hole in the wall, and there was thick smoke in the room of just fried chicken. Like, it was thick. Like, you could rub your face on it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was gross. But delicious. And I would have some of that. If I can mix enchilada and that chicken, I would. Can I have those?
Yeah.
I have both. Okay.
You can have both. Enchiladas and fried chicken.
Yay!
Okay, and what are you drinking?
What am I drinking? I like, to go with that meal, I'd probably get like a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh!
Keep it basic.
You're in love right now.
I'm in love right now. Yeah. I'm in love.
What does that mean to you right now?
To me, it's good. I like it. It's good. It's different. I've been so focused on like career that I've like dated people, but I always put my profession first.
Yeah.
And
I mean, from an outsider's perspective, not even having to talk to you about anything, just seeing your life play out on the interwebs, I feel like this is the first relationship that I've like actually ever seen you in.
Yeah, I feel like I don't don't make my relationships public.
Yeah.
And I do that on purpose because I have this feel of like, I've always had this feel of like, I don't know how long this is going to, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I've never committed to it. And
has it ever been because of the industry at all?
No, because you know why? I feel like I've posted pictures with exes, but you didn't know that we were dating. You know what I mean? I knew, and that's all that matters. So I posted pictures of people in the past, and people are like, who? They don't, because I take pictures of a lot of people. You know what I mean? I love social media. I'll take pictures with a lot of people.
Tons of people,
People can put it together or they can't.
Right, yeah.
Also, they can't tell, you know? And it's not my job to make it clear for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I've done it in the past. I've posted pictures of people I've dated for a short period. I was dating someone here when I was shooting Eye Candy.
Oh, yeah.
You remember we talked about
this?
Yeah,
I remember.
But you
Mr.
never.
Wall Street.
Mr. Wall Street. But I have pictures. But people don't, they always also make assumptions. People assume, oh, Harvey's just hanging out with his friends, you know? And it's like, okay. Because I'm not going to take a picture of, like, you know, butt fucking. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not like, you know what I mean? You got all
got uncomfortable.
Sweating. Like, I'm not posting that. I'm like, you know, I'm posting nice romantic getaways or like a capture a moment that was cute. And like, I like that, you know? And I love doing that. And I like being in love. Also, being in love with someone who's in the industry is actually a good thing because they know your schedule.
Right.
And going away for a while is hard, and like, you know, visiting and like that stuff. But so far, so good. You know, we're going on 1 year in October. So
that's real time.
It's real time. 1 year. Every form of love is actually great. Like the love of your partner, the love of a friend, you know, like I love you, you know.
I love you too. It's like, I always have.
It's that thing where like I genuinely can say that about a handful of people,
mm-hmm.
and to be, to give that and them to reciprocate that is such a cool, like, just balance of this energy that it's like, you can't explain it. I can't explain it. It's just so cool. It's just so nice.
Oh, well, I mean, my next question was, if you had one sentence to define love and what it means to you, what would it be?
I think I just said it, but I mean, let's see, one sentence. I think it would be something like, I want you to be loved the way I want to be loved.
Yeah.
Simple.
I like that. You're a model now of sorts, right?
A plus size model.
I feel like that you have tagged plus size model in some
shots. I didn't go into that. I was like approached and stuff to do like some stuff, and I never really thought much about it.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's fun, you know.
I think it's incredible.
Yeah. And also I do, even for like the weight I've lost, you know?
Yeah.
Like I don't think plus size people are being represented as positive as they could, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's,
if
yeah,
I can be question. Like you said, like if I'm gonna do something, I wanna be the fucking leader of the pack. I want to be the leader of that pack, you know? Mm-hmm. So I want to do it. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it full out, you know?
Okay.
And I want to do it. And so this is something new, but apparently it's working. I've done, like, some stuff for, like, Indochino, you know, like, just different companies that, like...
Indochino, I love that spot.
Yeah, it's so cool.
I look like their suit to the Fashion Media Awards.
Yes! I love their stuff. And working with, you know, I'm here this week working with Kirby Magazine.
Yeah.
Which, you know... were so great to approach me to be like their male ambassador and, you know, just to hit that like division
kind of thing.
And so I'm excited to just kind of dive into something new. I like new things like that because it's still in the realm of like being creative
and
an artistic person, but it's different.
Yeah, and I mean, and also like to further your career in another way. Like I think we're living in a time where like if you just are one thing, like you're not living to the industry's fullest potential. Like, you have to do so many different things.
Yeah.
So if you had to say, like, give a little motivational pick-me-up to anybody that was, like, struggling with, you know, body dysmorphia or any body image disorder, what would you say?
I would say when you look in the mirror and you're told that what you see is not good and it shouldn't be loved and shouldn't be liked, ask yourself, does that deserve to be loved? And only when you yourself can admit to yourself that you're love worthy, then the rest won't matter.
Because if you can't love yourself,
how you love somebody else?
Amen.
Amen.
Cue the music.
Let the music play.
Let the music play.
Yeah, it's true.
Last question is, do you think the way that I approach sexuality is going to hurt my career in any way, shape, or form?
Oh, Nico. No. I don't think... I actually admire the way you approach sexuality because you've always been open about, you know, like, even... I remember you talking about, like, poly, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
You were one of the first people that I ever told I was a bisexual to.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
It was, like, on the plane. I was, like, so... No, it was in the car on the way back from the plane. I was, like...
Because we were comfortable by then.
I knew so much about RuPaul. I get queerer when I'm around other queer people.
Right.
And
you dropped your guard.
But I also told you that I was going to marry that girl, too. So you were like, are you bisexual? And I was just like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And we continued the conversation.
Yeah. Because for me, it didn't matter. Yeah. You know, you could have said, no, I'm just straight. And I'm like, okay, because it's your life. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I have to, as a friend, that's your choice, you know, and I support whatever you want to do. And, you know, I think the way you present yourself and sexuality is great. I love the idea of you being open, being one of the first people to be open about, you know, polyamorous relationships. I think it's a great avenue that, honestly, before meeting you, I would never have seen myself in a polyamorous. Like, I would never consider that. Mm-hmm. And after seeing you and seeing how you go about it, it actually, it kind of, like, you know, makes me think, yeah, it's doable. You make people comfortable to try things that maybe have been taboo for so long in the sexuality world. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff that people don't talk about that because there's this, like, stigma about, like, what are we, living in Utah and, you know, Mormon? And it's like, no, it's something different that you're not listening to. And I think you're, and for lack of a better, like, phrase or word, is that you're, like, a good poster boy for that because it does give people that freedom to, like, ask themselves, because let's face it, a lot of marriages end in divorce.
Yeah.
But wouldn't those marriages kind of sustain themselves if there was an open dialogue and there was an idea of maybe poly? Mm-hmm. There was an idea. I'm a big believer in it now because of people like you, because solely actually because of you, because you introduced that world to me. And I was like, that makes so much sense. People wouldn't get divorced because the reason people get divorced is half the time is cheating. Mm-hmm. And if you, because you can't be honest with your partner, if you can't be honest with your partner about, like, look, I love you. I want to come home to you, but I love steak. I want to eat steak. But sometimes I want to have chicken. And if I could have chicken, but knowing that I don't love chicken.
I don't got to give up the steak.
I don't want to give up the steak. I love steak. I just want to go have chicken. Have a bite.
Right.
And afterwards come home and cuddle with my steak.
And look, I think where I am right now with the whole poly thing too is, like, it's not even about sex. It's about, like, if I want to go.
Connect with someone.
Connect, yeah, on an emotional level. If I want to go, like, hang out with my best friend that's a girl and, like, lay in bed and talk about life for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And then go home to my wife. Like, that, to me, is way more important than, like, I just want to get my fucking rocks off for a second.
And what a great, like, thing to have, like, as freedom in a relationship where you know that nothing worthwhile can be threatened.
Right. Well, yeah, for sure.
So nothing that is meant to be can be threatened. So when people have these insecurities, I feel like someone like you has brought light to it, and it's so great, I think, because it does make you ask yourself questions, and you're like, you know what? That does make sense. You know what? I wouldn't be against trying it. You know what? I'm going to give it a go and see how that changes, and it does change your mentality about how you see relationships with people, like couples who fight and blah, blah, and it's like, just be open already, you know, and open with each other and have a conversation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the most important part is just communicating properly.
Honesty.
With the person that you love.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Absolutely. I feel like that's one thing about my relationship is that, like, honesty is such a huge, you know this about me, that I just, my biggest pet peeve is lying. And, like, just, like, you have to be honest with me, you know?
That one night we went to Foo Bar.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we went to Foo Bar a bunch of nights, but that one night.
Oh, man. But you know what I mean? You're right. Honesty is, I think, the most crucial thing in a relationship. I think it's just necessary. If you don't have that, then you're already starting off on, you know, a shady, like, foundation.
Well, I honestly love the shit out of you, Mr. Harvey Guillen.
Ditto.
thanks for coming in. It's always so good seeing you.
Thanks for having
me. Let's do this more often.
Yeah, not like
two. Not years. This podcast.
But just hang out.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, bro. What have I done in the last week that's really fucking annoyed you?
Whenever you're a sarcastic prick?
Oh, whenever I'm a sarcastic prick.
Yeah, whenever you have that stupid little attitude voice on.
Which is what? What does it sound like?
It sounds like, so it's about the instructor, so.
Okay, cool. Well, I love you. I'll see you later.
Love you too.
Alpha ba o mai no chikara do so date te ta kakuto bitata seta.